Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
Good morning, Edward Kaufholz, and your brand new knee. Happy Tuesday.
We are so happy to see you, Annie F. Downs.
And again, we'll reiterate to our friends listening, we don't actually see each other.
We don't see each other. We tried for a second, felt very awkward.
Hated it. Super hated it.
We are comfortable in an audio medium together. And
in the same room.
Totally. Like if we ever get to when I come to your studio and record.
That's right.
It's not like we don't know what
it's
to
great.
Do. But there's something about video chatting that feels...
That's right.
Do you feel that with FaceTime when people do like a drop-in FaceTime on you? You're like, this
oh,
is
no,
too intimate.
I'm so glad we're talking about this. I need you to know how much I love FaceTime. I love FaceTime all the time. I just think even if it's 10 seconds or 10 minutes, I love FaceTime because it's just like a quick, hi, let me see you and let me say hi. And I mean, it is, I really love it.
So that's interesting. Okay, but do you feel like someone is dropping in on your life? Like you just had company over and you weren't expecting it?
I mean, not any more than a phone call. I mean, it's still my decision whether I answer, you know? So it doesn't. I mean, I'm not like, oh, hide this stuff in the background. Hurry, put away all the things that I don't want this person to see in the background.
Run and put on my face.
Like, yeah,
hide the
right.
valuables. Yeah.
Oh, that's right. I mean, I think that is actually part of the gift of the pandemic is that's when I really started using Marco Polo with my best friends. Mm-hmm. And when we started FaceTiming more, obviously, exactly 1 year ago right now. Almost. And
happy anniversary.
And so what started happening is people didn't just see me when I was ready to be seen.
Yeah.
You know, it was like, well, someone's calling and I haven't talked to anybody in 3 hours because I'm stuck in my house by myself. And it doesn't matter that I've been crying or it doesn't matter that I'm still eating spaghetti or it doesn't matter that I'm still have my hair in a towel. I'm going to answer. And we are, our friend group has really, it is actually, we talk about it a lot because it's really increased the closeness of our friend group mm-hmm. because we are allowing each other to see each other. A bunch of women, we're all women who don't live with anyone else. Mm-hmm. And it's, we're seeing each other in times where no one sees us.
And that has been helpful for you to break that barrier, I'm assuming, by what you're saying.
Yeah, I think so. I think so because it has surprisingly made me feel less alone, even though I'm still exactly as much alone. Mm-hmm. But when you're like, well, now they know that when I don't put on my makeup and talk to them while I'm, you know, like at the end of my reading time in the morning, that this is what I look like when I wake up. And Eddie, no one sees me when I wake up. No one sees me until I decide they can see me.
Yeah.
And so this has added like this layer of intimacy to my friendships with my girlfriends that has really been beneficial, honestly.
Right. Because that's kind of part of the being with someone and being like not alone is kind of crossing that barrier because it does feel weird. Like I will look at myself in the mirror sometimes and be like, dude, you are too schlubby to walk out of the room right now. And then you're like, no, my friends still like me despite that. Brianne and
that's
even
exactly
Lucy
right.
don't care that I'm still in gym shorts and a workout t-shirt and
that's right
looking like junk they like me and
that's
so
right.
I don't have to yeah
and we don't ever have to allow that if we don't want to
right
until we get married you know
hold on say that again what do you mean
we don't ever have to allow anyone to decide that about us
oh yes right
you know because you're really what you are doing every time you let your three women see you not ready for the day is you are allowing mm-hmm. them to decide whether they love you or not, just as you are, you know?
Right. And every single possible message, because what the reality of that is, to peel that onion, is I have no indication that they even remotely care that I'm looking schlubby. The real thing there is I care and think they'll care, but no one cares.
That's
me telling myself like, hey, you're not worth entering into the world. or something. You know, maybe that's a little too dramatic, but generally,
I don't think anyone would have that as their top feeling if your feeling is a multi-layered cake. I don't think that's the top one, but I think it's in the cake.
Yeah.
And I think that happens all the time. And so because the last year I've spent significant time talking to people that way, I actually have loved it, which brings me to, I want to send a game to your girls for us to play over FaceTime.
Okay.
It's called Tinsy. Have you heard of Tinsy?
I haven't heard of it, no matter what the spelling is, but are you saying T-E-N or T-I-N?
T-E-N-Z-I.
Tinsy. No, tell me more. First of all, you need to know that Lucy's listening to this because she listens to all the podcasts. And she's probably...
Don't make promises you aren't going to keep is what you're saying to me.
Oh, God, no. No, I wasn't going
to
say that.
Like, I won't. I'm going to. I'm writing it down right now. Lucy, I want to be who I say I'm going to be.
Oh, no. I wasn't even coming close to that. I was saying... I don't know that there's a person in this world that likes a game more than Lucy.
Oh, really?
And then a game plus FaceTime plus a friend plus socializing. It's Christmas right now.
So let me tell you why we're going to, I actually might buy stock in Tinsy, because here's what happened. Last week when I was stuck at the ranch with Pleasure, it was a game I was playing with the kids that live at the ranch.
Okay.
And the way you play is you buy a set of dice and it is six sets of 10 dice. Does that make sense? So
60 dice?
Yes. So you get 10 that are purple and green. I get 10 that are orange and white. Lucy gets 10 that are yellow and blue or whatever, you know? So everybody has their own set. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And so then then there's a deck of cards that give you the directions of what to do. A Tinsy is when all the dice, when you roll the dice and they're all the same.
Oh, how is that possible?
Well, I mean, you roll them and three of them are fours and you leave those three and you pick up the other seven and you roll again and you're trying to get a Tinsy. You're trying to get all fours.
A little like Yahtzee in a way.
Yeah. Exactly. Or you're trying to get whatever the card says. So the card may say, get a Tinsy, but between every roll, you have to make a barnyard animal sound. Or get a Tinsy, but between every roll, but you have to go right hand, left hand, right hand, left hand. Or it'll say... instead of a Tinsy, get a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, I see. So the cards are giving you special options.
Yes. Which, as you can imagine, if I have a set of dice at my house, and if I have my 10 Tinsy dice and you guys have a set of Tinsies at your house and we flip over the card and we say go, I can roll at my house just like y'all are rolling at my house, and whoever says Tinsy first gets it.
Oh, because that's the barrier, is usually we're playing a card game where we're like,
that's
flipping.
Right.
You couldn't.
That's right.
That's cool.
And there's no length of the game. So I played last night for 10 minutes with my friends in Lost Valley, and we just played like five cards, and that was it. And so, the girls and I, or you and Bree and the girls and I, can play for an hour.
We can be the girls.
I'm okay just
being. I'm okay being one of the girls.
Okay.
Just girl talk. But so you can play. So you said I interrupted to try to be funny.
You didn't.
Play 10 minutes or...
or an hour. You can play as long as you want. There's 77 different cards.
I love those kind of games that are easy to play, social, but also not void of... some measure of like strategy and thinking. So everybody, I love that.
So for all, I mean, to me, this is the dream mini BFF game.
Yes.
That I can play over FaceTime because if I tilt my phone just right or my computer just right, the friend playing on the other side can see me and my dice on the table.
I'm going to hop in and buy some stock before this show releases. And I'm not sure, is that considered insider trading? Because
I'm actually going to buy before this releases too, in case it sells out, because I want to send them to y'all and I need to send them. I've got two other friends I want to send them to.
Well, I learned my lesson last week because, I'm not even going to break on this, but mentioning things on the show or on Twitter have a certain, like you understand this better than I do.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mentioned the hatch and then... that whole thing. And now I got hatches everywhere. We'll use them for decoration. We just got hatches all over the place. But I'm looking for like the bike, and I was very purposeful. Yeah. Like I'm not using
a brand name. You didn't even tag them, which was smart. Yeah.
I just want unbiased opinion. So yes, you have to buy Tinsy ASAP because the Tinsy company is going to be sending you like a Tinsy shirt soon.
Right. Which is great. I just think people in 2021, could we have more games that are easy to play in two locations. They allow for people to connect and play a game together, but are not necessarily the same, like one board, you know?
Well, that's the beauty of, yes, and I agree, because I think games are just analog and fun. For a kid, they help you learn. There's just, games are really enjoyable. And
oh, yeah, one of my favorite Tinsy cards is you roll four of your dice and you add up that number. Yeah. And then everybody, and so everybody does that slow. Like you roll your four dice, you add up that number.
Yeah.
And then the game is you have to roll the other six to get that same number. And so that's great. That is great practice math for elementary kids.
I love it.
You know?
It's but it's also analog.
That's
like,
right.
It's something.
No technology except if we're over FaceTime.
Yeah, but that, yes, I think that's really fun. I love a good game. I get very excited about a new game. Do you play a lot of games?
No, I don't really like them. But I really like Tinsy.
What don't you like about him? Because apparently, because it can't be a total rule because you like Tinsy. So what
That's
is
right.
it?
I feel very competitive a lot of times.
Oh, right.
You know, I really haven't been a game. I haven't been in situations where we play a lot of games since I was probably in my mid-20s. So I should try as a grown-up. I know everyone listening in their mid-20s. We are grown-ups at mid-20s.
Yes.
I should try as a grown-up to play games. I don't like, I mean, this is a little bit of identifying as an Enneagram 7. Part of the problem is if you start the game of life, you know you're sitting at that table for 2.5 hours.
Oh, well,
and
the choice of game is critical. Yes.
Yes. I don't like being trapped like that at a party or an event where it's like, hey, it's a game night and we're just getting started. We're going to do 12 rounds of Pictionary. And I'm like,
yeah.
Oh, I really wanted to be home by 9. And you're telling me we're starting at 8:40. Well, I'm just going to leave right now.
Instead
of staying for the game.
Picking the right game is critical, though, to the entire scenario. Because,
sure.
Like you, I mean, we have a game closet. It's not like a whole closet, but we have like,
oh,
you know, normal.
Rich?
No. I mean, yeah, we're doing pretty well, but no.
We've got our own game closet.
I mean, we've got that sponsor money rolling.
That's right.
but it's like, is this a Ticket to Ride night, which is a game that's like a long strategy game, or are we just going to play 313? You can play that in 5 minutes before, you know.
Oh,
so
interesting.
Picking the right game is critical to this because people just think, I want to play a game. I'm like, no, because you're saying something that takes a massive amount of brain power and we're focused in for 2 hours, which is a certain kind of fun if you're in the mood for it. But there's another kind of fun that's like, just a simple, give me something that's 25 minutes that we can just kind of unwind and turn our brains off and laugh a little bit and be done. But
yeah,
I get that. Yes. And going to a game night where it's Pictionary the whole night is real, real commitment.
Yeah. Really. And I just don't like that. I don't think that's fun. A lot of people like that kind of feeling. I really have problems when, like, it's a real emotional journey for me. This exact thing happened maybe 4 years ago. One of my friends had a surprise birthday party, and I was told it was like brunch, and it was like brunch and then a presentation and then a da 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 da.
Oh boy.
And I could have left my skin.
Caged
That's how
animal.
Quick I could have jumped out of my body. Not because I don't love my friend or because I didn't enjoy it, but because it was not the time commitment I was initially agreed upon.
Oh.
In my heart.
You are hitting on all cylinders. Not knowing the time of something, or not knowing the what I'm in, or feeling like that my time is being abused. I dislike that deeply. I get that.
Yeah. And maybe it's because some people would say that I overschedule my life a little bit. Some people might say that. I might say that sometimes.
Yeah.
But I'm always like, well, if you told me I'm going to be here from 10 to 12, then it's super safe for me to go hang out with that friend at 1.
Right.
But then when I get there and you tell me I'm going to be there till 2, well, now you have messed up my rhythm for the day. And I have to fix things, and now I have to get on my phone, and I don't want to be on my phone at a party but I'm going to have to tell them I'm going to be late, and you know,
Yeah.
just a torpedo to the bottom of the ocean of my soul is what that is.
All right. So we'll play Tinsy, and it'll just be a little bit. We'll play Tinsy for a little bit. We'll chit-chat.
Yeah, we'll play it as long as we want. The first time we're going to go hard. I can predict it. All right, friends, we're just interrupting our show real quick to tell you about our friends over at KiwiCo. I and Eddie. We love KiwiCo. We love it so much. We all have fun memories and experiences from childhood that shaped who we are today. Eddie, I'm thinking of, like, I remember my camp counselors from a day camp came to my parents' house and helped me make a volcano. You know, like one of those volcanoes that, yeah, I have such a clear memory of them coming over and doing that with us. And with a KiwiCo subscription, you and your kids can get everything you need to create unforgettable moments shipped right to your door. KiwiCo's fun and innovative crates provide engaging science and art projects for kids of all ages.
I think my favorite thing about KiwiCo is the surprise aspect of it, because you think you knew your camp counselor was going to bring over a volcano. You couldn't have known that's what they were going to bring over. That's sort of what happens with the KiwiCo box. Is so every time you look at it, you're like, we're going to make a, and then it's just this great project, or I'm going to build this. I never even thought it was possible. And so what's neat, like my favorite thing about it is the immediacy of a kid going, I didn't know I could do this, but then they fully believe they can do it because KiwiCo is, you trust them and they know that, like, we've done KiwiCo before. They said I could make this cool pencil sharpener we talked about. Like, I can make a pencil sharpener.
Yes.
I love it. We have to get, have you tried the, like, the ones for older kids? Like, you and I, adult ones?
Yes. I made a basket that holds books that you can, like, set beside your bed. It's really cute.
See, that I could obsess on. I love those. So they have cool ones for kids of all ages, even adult kids, you know, like us. I really love KiwiCo. We have had so much fun with it.
Yeah. So friends, KiwiCo is redefining learning with hands-on projects that build confidence, creativity, and critical thinking skills. There's something for every kid, or as Eddie was saying, kid at heart at KiwiCo. So you guys can get 30% off your first month plus free shipping on any crate line with the code KEEPTALKING at KiwiCo.com. That's 30% off your first month at KIWICO.com. And the promo code is KEEPTALKING. I need you to tell me how your knee is. We haven't talked to you since the actual surgery, but we did see you were very generous and posted a lot of gruesome pictures on your Instagram.
Yes. Yeah, it was gross. There wasn't blood, so I didn't think it was, like, shockingly gross, but looking back at it, it was a little bit gross. And thank you for your comment. It is the most liked comment of everybody knowing how gross you thought it was. So the surgery went really well. I mean, it's exactly what you would hope for. It was clean. There has been no resulting complications. It was a little bit strangely affirming because the surgeon said, he was like, what we saw in the MRI was half the story. And I won't get into it in case people are squeamish. But when they got in there, there was, like, a definitive problem that hadn't been as clear in the MRI that they were able to definitively fix.
Okay.
And so it's fixed and healing well. I'm in the inconvenient time now where I'm sitting here with my leg propped up and a big brace on and I can't move. And it takes me, you know, 45 minutes to take a quick shower, you know, but all of that is just, like, whiny post-surgery stuff. Generally, I'm feeling okay. And I'm in physical therapy. I'm not pushing it. I'm doing the physical therapy with what they say, but I'm not trying to, like, sneak in little walks. Like, I'm despite what it does for me.
And certainly, I would hope you aren't.
Yeah, but that's hard not to do, right? It's hard to be like, you have to just sit down for a week. And you're like, okay, well, maybe I'll go and I'll do this and I'll do this and do this. And so, but I'm not doing any of that. I'm not pushing it. I feel fine. It's, I was really happy with it. And I'm just going through the process of, like, mentally just going, like, all right, this is a 6-week journey. The interesting part of it was, thought I would be less okay with it than I am. Like, I'm okay with it. But he said, doctor has been great and just so appreciate the time he spent, because I've had a million questions and I never felt like I need a doctor that is willing to just sit there and listen and answer all these questions. And so we were talking a lot about, like, running and the future of that. And he said, you can run, but what you had removed from your left knee and what you've also had removed from your right knee is the shock absorber. And so you
because they take something out?
Yeah. So
I didn't know that part.
So the meniscus is, I want to be gentle, but the meniscus is basically, there is cartilage that is like a flat piece of cartilage that keeps the two bones from hitting each other. The two big bones in the knee, like the top and the bottom. That tore. That's a torn meniscus. So the way to fix it is they can't re-sew that flap together. They just kind of remove it and shave it down and make sure that the bone is clean. So super gross, but what that doesn't grow back. And so he said, you know, short term, you can go out for a run just like you've been running on your right knee, and that's fine. He said, but you're just really going to need to figure out low impact sports to take you until you're an old man. He's like, because what we don't want to do is like knee replacement when you're 70 or 80. And that's, so the investment you put in now in finding low impact options will pay off in you not having to replace these knees when you're an old man. And I thought, well, okay, that I can get my head around. So I'm taking the time a little bit to rework what long-term, I'm not running five times a week. I'm not constantly training for a half. Like I can do that in seasons,
yeah.
But generally I'm going to have to figure out some really good low impact options, which is smart to do anyhow. And some things like weightlifting, biking and swimming are going to be my new close friends. So figuring out how all that's going to work. Cause really I haven't done any of that. And with quarantine, I haven't gone to a gym. I haven't done any of that stuff. So I'm having to figure out. So that's the full, how everything is and kind of how I'm doing.
Do you have, I have been asking myself this question, and some friends and I had this conversation over dinner this weekend. Is there going to be a point where you feel like you have reached what you are trying to achieve physically?
No.
Will you ever be happy?
Well, that's two different questions. To me, it's two different questions. Reach physically? Yeah, there's not a weight number I'm trying to hit. There's not a thing I'm trying to accomplish. My real goal is already accomplished.
Okay.
And the real goal is I want to have metrics about my body that don't concern a doctor. So generally,
That's interesting.
That's a combination of a lot of things for a lot of people. But I generally want to be in a place where I am not putting myself at higher risk for things that I honestly can't totally avoid, but that I can do my part to avoid, right? So things like heart disease and cancer and all that kind of stuff, that stuff may find me, but I don't want to contribute to it by being morbidly obese. So for me, part of the goal is I want to do the best I can with this shell, knowing that...
With this show?
Shell.
I was like, you're making a show?
It is. It's called Annie and Eddie Keep Talking, and I'm doing the best I can. So that's my goal. My goal isn't climb Everest, and those things may enter in, and those are fun little things.
Uh-huh.
Like, I'd like to go to Mount Kilimanjaro with Brianne sometime. I'm now in a place where I could probably consider doing that, right?
Yeah.
Those things are fun, but there is no goal like that. There is no run a half, run a try. Like, those things are secondary to the real primary goal, which I've already accomplished, which is just treat my body as well as I can, not to live forever, but to just try to be responsible with this thing. So that's the goal. Whether that will make me happy, now that's the real question, because happiness has, in my like economy of mental health, has very little to do with the actual outside factors. So job is great. I'm healthy. Great relationships. Best spouse in the world. Best kids. Fulfilling work. Fulfilling project. I mean, I can go down the list of why everything is great. That doesn't make me happy or not happy. And that's the whole deep conversation. So no, I am not waiting to hit the goal and to climb Everest and then it'll be done. I've already climbed Everest. The real goal for me is how do I readjust in a way that allows me to continue to treat my body the best it can? Mm-hmm. And part of that now means I have knees that require me to
exercise differently.
We said we've done what we can. So we're going to give you some high impact. So go ahead, run once or twice a week. No big deal. But then you need to strengthen the muscles around it and do other things. And that will be the journey that I'm on. So that's it.
Yeah.
What do you think? How do you? And that's the end of my prepared remarks. I will not take questions. What about? I hate to throw that back on you, but
that's the conversation my friend group is having is
all over FaceTime and all at 3 a.m.
That's right. Oh, gross! Not at 3 a.m. Are you kidding?
Sorry, that was a weird time. 7 a.m.
I'm asleep from 10 to 6, pretty solidly.
That time of the morning meant a whole different thing, and I didn't mean it to mean.
Oh no! I wasn't even thinking. I was just like, Edward, there ain't a world where I'm doing anything at 3 a.m. except snoozing, because I am not a late nighter.
Because you asked such a good question, I would like to, I'm curious though, what you would have to say about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we were talking about. That's what we sat around dinner and talked about, is like, we're at a point in our lives, this was married and single women and men all talking about this, of going like, okay, we're at this point in our lives where we're not 21, but we're not 71.
Right.
We're in between. And are we going to spend the next 40 years doing and operating in our bodies the way we've spent the last 40 years?
Yes.
And a lot, and that one of the questions is, what are you waiting for? What do you want to look like? What are you waiting for that's going to make you happy or going to make you stop trying to change?
Yeah.
So, but I wrote down that sentence you said. I want to, hold on, I'll read it back to you because I'm not sure you remember it.
Oh, no, I definitely.
I want to have metrics about my body that do not concern my doctor. That's a great sentence.
Do you, this is actually too personal a question. So I will share.
I mean, if it feels too personal for you to ask, is it too personal to share?
It doesn't, because I feel like I'd be okay asking it. So you can share or not, but I feel like happiness, there's also a completely different, there's two different paths between I'm getting healthier and all of the data would say that, right? Losing weight,
sure.
Able to do more, BMI is down, cholesterol, all of the numbers, the things that you can quantify health with are trending, you know, up and to the right on the chart. But I also wonder about happiness in my own body, about like ever looking at myself and being okay with that. I wonder if that ever crosses over. Like I've often thought like, okay, if I had like abs and those cool like V abs and everything, like would I ever look at myself and be like, nice? Or is that just... are those things even connected? I used to think it was all connected and I don't think it's connected, because even though people have been really clear about like, wow, you look really different, I do not see it.
Yeah.
And so you're like, oh, these things are just, there's just... So happiness, body image, and actual health are strangely unconnected.
Right.
Somebody FaceTiming you right now?
Literally, yes. But I'm going to tell you why my ringer's on in just a minute.
A little early.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I think all that feels.
That's what I didn't want to. Yeah, that's what I didn't want to ask you. It feels like a, hey, how's your body image? That's the question. But I'm not
don't you know that I do interviews for my job, being on both sides of them, and I know how to answer it in a way that feels right to me. So I could have answered it. Don't worry.
I know.
But yeah, I think it's for everyone. I mean, Jonah Hill's post this weekend. I saw you share about it as well. But Jonah Hill's post over the weekend about the paparazzi shaming him for having his shirt off and how long it's taken him to actually take his shirt off at the pool because of what people say about his body. You know, that it's really good. I'm going to be so sweeping right now. It's really good generally for women to see men say that stuff because we think it's only women.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. I mean, can you list how many women talk about body image in podcasts or books? And can you list how many men do? I mean, the length of the lists are significantly different.
Yeah. Just in our tiny corner of the podcasting world, every time I talk about this, I am shocked by the response. And I realize, it's not because I'm speaking profoundly. It's because people haven't heard a guy talk about it much.
That's right. That's exactly right.
And you're like, oh, no, it's... But also, what's... a bummer about that is amongst my friends, guys that I talk to, we do talk about it. And guys that have been that we are that open and transparent with each other, there is body image and there is shame and there is acceptance and there is worry and there is all the stuff. There is the human condition of trying to figure out how to live in our shell and accept ourselves and love ourselves that I think cuts across. But there's something very generalized that guys aren't talking about it. And that's a bummer. Because I think it's helpful to say.
I think that's why it was such a big deal for Jonah Hill to share that.
Yeah.
It's because he has such a national platform and literally just kind of, I mean, it was a version of not accepting being canceled by culture.
Right.
Of going like, I see you, paparazzi, and I see what you're trying to make me feel, I'm going to actually publicly say you're trying to make me feel that, and I refuse to feel that.
Right.
Yeah.
And he said it in a way that wasn't, I was prepared to cringe, but he said it in a way that was actually really
honoring. What would he have said that made you cringe?
I thought he was going to take more of like a angry defensive tone against the Daily Mail. I don't know how, I don't even know how to say, I'm trying to, like, I know that there are tiny friends listening, but like.
You thought he was going to be more angry than he was?
Like lashing out at them and how dare you. But he took it as a teaching moment to really be like, here's I am, here's my journey. Like, here's why these words aren't going to affect me. It just was less, it was less angry than I would have assumed.
Well, it wasn't about them. It was about him.
Right. You know? That's the better way to say it.
He did such an interesting job going like, here's what you're trying to make me feel, but let me tell you about what I feel about me.
Exactly.
And I just thought, man, that is really profound that he said all that and shared all that. And yeah, you're right. Wasn't angry and wasn't like.
Right. And had every right to be, but wasn't. Okay. Wait, why do you have your phone ringer on? It's like one of these weird hanging
things. Yes. I have my phone ringer on because my windshield broke. Have I told you this already?
Oh, yeah. Because I accidentally on Fake Friday said a joke about insurance and then.
And then I said, oh, yeah, yeah. And so today is the day it gets repaired.
Oh, yes.
And they're going to call in our exact recording window of time to set up when they are coming and where they're coming to fix my windshield.
Yeah.
And so I have to have my ringer on because I have to tell them where to come fix my windshield. So that may happen at some point.
Well, I mean, this is real life, and we'll just all listen in. We'll get your home address. We'll find out the make and model of your car, license plate number, everything.
That's right. It's been very bizarre driving around my life for a week and a half with a busted up windshield.
Is your insurance? I don't really need to ask you questions like this. You're a bit.
Of course, yeah. Insurance is covering it. Yeah.
Okay, and they're just.
I have a deductible, but insurance is covering it.
Great. I would also say, if you have a chance to watch them replace a windshield. Super fun to watch.
Really?
Yeah, it's super fun one. I love watching people work on things that I would never know how to do or not have the tools to do.
No idea.
Oh, it's so fun. Oh, I love it. And so this is, replacing a windshield is a very rewarding one because first of all, it's lightning fast and they have these little suction cup things that go on the windshield and you're like, oh my gosh, they're like destroying my car. And the next thing you know, it's like, and the whole thing comes off and it somehow didn't break and spill all over your car. But then there's that weird moment where you're like, hey, there's my car without a windshield. And it looks weird because the windshield has dimension. It curves.
Yeah.
And so it looks all weird. And then they have a new windshield and it's like, it's one of those perfect things where they have the windshield already ready to go. And then they have these suction cup things that go right on the car that go right on the windshield that they put it in the car. And it's like, you know that this thing has to fit to within like a millimeter and it does and it's perfect. It's just like a very satisfying
thing. Well, I
thing
thought
to
it
watch.
Was really interesting when I called them and had to set it all up, like the original setup, because they were like, needed my VIN number.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, that feels like a lot of information. And I was like, well, no, they have to get the exact windshield, Annie. They're not going to come measure for it, Lord.
Right. Yeah, right. No, this isn't like Cinderella where there was probably a few sizes like that. It's like a very specific foot.
That's right. That's exactly right. Did you watch Saturday Night Live this weekend, by the way?
No, we haven't gotten to it yet.
Okay, I need you to. It's a pretty good one. It's not for every year, but there's some pretty funny ones, and there's a funny Cinderella one about the shoe.
Typically
being
one
incredibly small.
Oh, okay. That's funny.
It ends up fitting Gus Gus.
Oh, the little mouse?
Yeah.
Gus, played
very
by
funny.
Aidy
yeah,
Bryant,
very
right?
funny. 100% played by Aidy Bryant.
Oh, I love
Aidy Bryant is always one of my favorites, but she is turning up and turning out now that she's back. She was gone filming a show for a while, but man, she's funny.
She is talented. She's going to be one of the people that I think she might be one of the breakout kind of. We see her in a movie, kind of in her post SNL career. She continues. Yeah. I mean, obviously, Kate McKinnon has that trajectory. We're getting into SNL talk, but yes, sure. I like Aidy Bryant.
Yes, yes. It was a very funny part. Was the how tiny the shoe was.
Okay, I look forward to it. Good luck with your windshield. We have to go. I realize it's go time.
Oh yeah, you're right.
Not to be rude, I like to keep talking to you.
Let's just wait and talk on Friday. I still have things on my list.
Okay, we'll do it.
All right, friends, go wash your hands. Stay safe. We'll see you back here on Friday.
Bye, buddies.